Aquí. All right, everybody, welcome to another show of Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is your host, Johnny Ventura. Today's date is June 11th, and we have switched around our format for today, to accommodize the Legends reps that we're going to have on very shortly. Before I get into that, let me just go over a couple things here that our local team here in the San Fernando Valley, from the WPSL League, LA Rampage, is having a doubleheader this weekend, and we'd like for you guys to join us out at Granada Hills High School. For more information about that, log on to rampagefc.com, and you can find out some more information about that. I'll get some more information about that as well as far as the time games and all kinds of stuff. So we just want to get to our guests very shortly here. We are going to go overtime this evening. We still have our special guest with us in the second half hour, Sandy Castillo from Cal South Top Soccer. She is the chairperson and co-founder of Top Soccer. So we're going to have Sandy with us in the bottom of the half hour to discuss what Top Soccer is all about. All right? So we thank you for joining us. This is the first radio talk show dedicated to the happenings of youth soccer here in Southern California. I'm broadcasting live. My name is Johnny Ventura, right here in the San Fernando Valley, beaming over the internet waves of bbsradio.com. So we thank you for joining us. If you are listening to us, you've already reached the listen live button. If you want to participate in the show, which we hope you do, because a lot of questions were asked regarding Legends FC, which we're going to get to that shortly. So we'd like for you to participate by sending your questions or comments to soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. If you're on our website, obviously that is bbsradio.com/soccerradio. Scroll down. You can go straight to our soccer guest room live. You can type in your questions live, and we have an intern here that will be glad to forward them over to me, and we can get those questions for you live right away on the air if you have any comments or questions for our Legends rep, okay? Some people like to go that way. Some people like to go through the email. However, you got to understand that not everybody's server is the same, so it does take a little longer than others for us to get our emails to us, okay? All right, well, thank you for joining us. This is Soccer Radio. On the lines, we have two DOCs from Legends FC. We have the girls' DOC, who was with us, matter of fact, about a month ago. He was nice enough to talk about the merger that happened that created Legends FC. We have the director of coaching for the girls' side, Josh Hodges. And also we have the DOC for the boys' side. Billy Bizarro is with us. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. Josh, you gave me a call. You said you wanted to be on the show. You wanted to go over a couple things and basically talk about Legends FC, and I'm sure Billy's here to face the music and back things up. Well, you know what? Let's start with no holds barred here. Let's go straight into this. You guys have created quite a stir, quite a bannering stir on the SoCalSoccer.com forum website. A lot of people are questioning your club. A lot of people are slamming. I mean, obviously, you know, when people post things like this, you know, there is no phone number. There is no really email to respond to them. I mean, anybody can basically start threads here and just see how far it snowballs. Even Mike Benjamin from Coast Soccer League got involved in this. So let's start from the beginning here. I was at your tournament. and we had a team that played out there. First off, let me say, guys out there, listeners, we had a great time at this tournament. I know this is the first time the Legends put on something. Great fields. The people at the check-in desk were obviously volunteers, and it was probably the most nicest check-in desk that I have ever faced in my 15 years of coaching. Angela, who was the director of the tournament, sweet lady, answered all my questions, was always running around. I got a chance to meet Josh briefly while he was coaching his girls' team. We spoke for about 3 seconds. As far as that end, everything was fine about this tournament. There have been some bannering about guys about your teams cheating at this tournament. I think you guys, somebody defended you here on the forum side. Why don't you explain a little bit of what happened with this player that played for both teams, this goalkeeper?
Do you want to tag him, Billy, or do you want me to? Or... Hutch, are you there still, John?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I'll attack it. Basically, we had a coach who does not have a goalkeeper for his U14 girls team. And basically moved his U13 keeper up to play for that team and was going to have a goalkeeper trying out for his younger team. And the goalkeeper fell through. The coach made a decision based out of probably last-minute desperation and made a decision to play his keeper on both teams. Obviously, the club was not aware of that. The second it was brought to our attention, we made a decision to forfeit that team out, not just one team but both, because you're not allowed to use a player on two different teams in the same tournament. And basically, have just addressed the issue and move forward. Anybody that knows the coach, I think deep down, and I haven't read all the stuff on the forum, knows that they're not, he is a good coach and is a moral guy and an ethical guy, and I really believe, sincerely that it wasn't something where he was trying to win National Cup with it. He just made a poor decision, based on a spur of the moment type thing. Doesn't mean it's right, and obviously we've addressed it internally, and that's between us and that coach. But that's kind of how it went down. We're extremely sorry that it did happen. I do believe it's a poor reflection on us. Especially being at our own tournament. And all we can do at this point is really apologize and just say that it's not going to happen again. And all we can do is we can handle our business with the coach who made that choice and kind of go from there. So that's pretty much how the situation went down.
This coach that actually made this decision, I don't think he did it with malintent. Was this a coach that was new to the Legends program, or was this a coach that was already part of Stampede that came with the other club?
No, he's a coach already with the program.
Okay.
He actually joined Glendora FC last year, came onto our staff, and just got really involved with everything. Coaches two or three teams for the club, and basically I witnessed it. He had to face the music, had to have meetings with his parents and explain to them that they weren't going to be able to advance, and accepted responsibilities for his actions, and even went as far as saying that if any of the team doesn't want him to come back based on his decision, that that he would understand, and he apologizes for the embarrassment that it caused the team and the club. So he's been on our staff previously to the merger.
Right. Okay, well, I hope that clears things up for you guys out there. Also, there have been some questions about, this is the first tournament you guys ran. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We enjoyed ourselves. We weren't too happy with the refereeing, obviously, but that's not something that you guys can control. I understand that some of the referees were worked a little overtime, that were scheduled a little too many games, and maybe that affected their attitude out there, which is understandable. Some games were played 9 o'clock, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, which is understandable. What I was a little concerned about, and also the people bannering on the SoCalSoccer.com site, is that want to know why you guys didn't take the time to invest equal flights instead of basically lumping all the teams together. Golds with silver, silver with bronze. So, you know, I mean, it looks like you guys had a real good tournament with enough teams out there. Why didn't we just keep the lowest bronze teams together and then with the lowest silver teams and then have the kids who have incredible talent play together fight themselves out for that medal?
You want me to touch on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we have definitely apologized for that situation. We had a lot of trouble in the week. Obviously, you saw with the scheduling and getting everything up, and it kind of took away from a lot of the things that the tournament director and us and the staff had to get accomplished. And when we had someone do the seedings, basically 1, 2, 3, and then just go down the line and put them in different brackets as they were seeded, it just ended up where they weren't. There wasn't an in-depth look at the teams. Obviously, I went over that with some people that that I talked personally to now and apologized for the situations. And again, as a situation where we, it was our first time at a big venue. Our Stampede Classic was all at little venues, and it was much more manageable that way, which we didn't believe so before doing this tournament. We thought one venue would be much more manageable, but after putting everything back in perspective, and when you have one team at a different venue, at a little venue, and they just manage that venue, and they're all helping each other out as a team and running things, everything smoothly, and the dynamics of one huge venue, it was one huge learning lesson. And you're right, the time to find extra teams to fill the lower brackets or fill the upper brackets, time went by so quick with so much on the tournament director's plate and the scheduling problems that she had. And it kind of just was a domino effect on some of the issues in the tournament that we are going to put those problems out there and do everything in our power to fix them for next time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, it is the first tournament. You know, it's hard for me to believe that nobody has went through a learning process like this. I mean, your big clubs probably when they did their first thing 10 years ago, it's the same thing. What I'm a little concerned about here is just it seems that there's only a couple people on this forum site that is just wants to bring down Legends FC. I don't know much about Legends. I will report what I see. You know, I'll be honest with you. We had a great time. Nice people, great food, beautiful fields, man. I'm telling you, man. Nice fields, great atmosphere. We didn't have any problems with any of the Legends teams that we played against. They seemed pretty cool. They weren't dirty players. Some of them were pretty big. But then again, you know, some kids grow differently than others, so I have no problem with that. But you got people out here on the site out here who are just want to bring you guys down. I mean, what do you got to say about that? Any, I mean, to defend yourself about your club here? I mean, yeah,
Go ahead.
I think like with any big organization, we just merged. We put ourselves out there. There were some people that didn't get to come along with the merger. There's some people that when you go through the trial process maybe didn't make the program. If you really look at the negativity and the amount of posters, as you're calling them, that are out there, if you really counted all the negativity, it's maybe 6 to 10 to 15 max posters out of the, you know, thousands of families or, you know, between mom and dad that we're dealing with 500 kids in the club. So obviously there is some people that don't respect what Legends FC is doing, but you know, we're going to stand our ground and we believe in every wholeheartedly in what we're doing for the kids in our program and the product on the field. I can tell you right now, which people get away from, which is the players and the development and the coaches and what is being taught on that field, is absolutely amazing. And if someone would come up to our field and see the atmosphere and the environment and the coaching staff and how the kids are starting to all get to know each other's names, and that's the thing that gives me the chills and makes me very proud to be a part of Legends. And people are going to, you know, every year are going to try to bring us down or talk bad or whatever. But, you know, I think good people and people read right through those negative people. And, you know, and there always obviously is going to be people that sway that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it seems like it sounds like somebody that was just not accepted or somebody was just not happy. I don't know. That started this thread and it just snowballed. And then unfortunately, the people, the veterans on this SoCalSoccer.com site just bought into it. You know, and it's a shame. It is a shame. But I wanted to, you know, I'm glad you guys are on. and talking about it. There was also a lot of questions about the fees. You know, all this stuff is obviously is not a secret. It was picked up on the LAFC website. You know, how many teams you guys have for the club? About 20 or plus?
48.
Okay, so it's grew since then. You know, they were talking about what the revenue comes in with these teams. You know, you guys can do the math. You know, let's say 16 to 18 kids on a roster. Obviously, that's 11 on 11. They just broke things down, man. They broke things down like that.
I could touch on that, John. It's very simple. When you're dealing with a budget, first of all, you can't budget at 16, 18 players, even for U11. You can budget at 14 because that's the reality of how many kids at the end of the day are going to you get the full pay from just from doing it the past 7 years. And on the younger teams, you budget about 10 to 11 players. As the club has grown, we feel we are very reasonable for what you get, a 12-month basically full program with speed and agility, full-time, 2 days a week goalie training, full coach. Trainer and coach that's at all the games, clinics, a free camp for the kids. And I would challenge anyone out there that can provide everything we provide for a full year for $1,600. And also, when you do a budget, yeah, it looks like when you add everything up, there will be excess money because you always, if anyone that's ran an organization, you know that you have to budget 10 to 15% over. 10 to be safe, 15% to be smart. Because if you budget dead on and one player stiffs you for money or quits or gets injured and we have to reimburse, you're already $5,000 to $6,000 in the hole, and where are you going to make that money up? Everything we do is money, even estimates of what we make off the tournament, what we make off a golf tournament, what we make goes right back into the club overall budget to cover all our costs. That not 1 year that I've been involved with club soccer have we ever had excess money. Actually, it's been opposite every year, and we got to be clever in ways we get started for the following year.
Okay, so there you've touched on. There's never been any excess money at all because someone touched. Someone wrote here that they're wondering. They made an estimate that there's about $6,600 of excess money, and they're wondering why that doesn't go back in the accounts of the teams. And you're saying there hasn't been any excess money at all. That everything's pretty much to the limit here.
To the limit, and even in the red.
Yeah, you're in the red. Okay. Okay, and you know what surprises me, guys, is I mean, this is just petty, man. You know, I mean, if the parents don't want their, if they're complaining about, hey, you know what, we're paying this, but then again, we're realizing that, hey, you know, Josh's keeping extra $5 for gas or something like that. Everybody knows how much club soccer is. Everybody knows what the fields cost and this. I mean, camps and clinics and you know, let's be honest. I don't think. Except with five coaches that I know, don't get paid for what they do for clubs. Every coach on your club is on the payroll.
No, not everybody. You know, there are some situations where coaches actually made a decision to help their team out to not take a coaching salary. But they're all professional coaches. Mm-hmm. We don't have any parents coaching their children, but there are some situations where coaches have stepped up and said, hey, this is something that I'll invest into this team and coach it and not take a salary for that. And then, you know, that way it can make it a better situation for the kids on their team financially.
Okay, so you do have volunteer coaches, professional volunteer coaches that are willing to do that.
That's not something we go out and seek. It's just different situations
right. Sometimes.
That's the only way that the team can function, you know?
And there are still non-parent coaches on those teams.
Right.
Professional coaches. They just choose to really, and the teams would have a definitely tough time paying the fees.
Well, when you touch on the subject about non-parent coaches, let's break this down a little bit. For you guys, what is considered a non-parent coach?
A coach that basically doesn't have a child associated with that team. You know, a lot of the coaches out there, they have their own children, but the reason that, you know, and there's good parent coaches out there, just our philosophy is that we want the kids, when they show up to practice, to see this person, this figurehead, this leader for their team as somebody besides so-and-so's mom or dad. So we do have coaches that are involved in our program that that made the choice to help this team out. But, yeah, we're not – I mean, there's good parent coaches out there, and every club is set up differently. Some have trainers, some have coaches, some have, flip it around. Somebody just coaches the games on the weekends. You know, our philosophy is having a person in charge of the team who trains the team and coaches the team. It's their job, and they're held accountable for the development of that team.
Okay.
And there is exceptions. If a guy has a vast coaching experience and playing experience, then definitely we will keep those things in consideration too. But a lot of it goes by soccer experience.
Right, exactly. Okay, I agree with you on that. Guys, let me break this down a little bit for you since I got you here and this is what you're here for. Somebody actually took the time here to do some homework about this. Let's break it down here. This is what they did. We're going with the fees again, okay?
Right.
I'm going to break things down a little bit. You guys, let's see if you want to elaborate more on this, you want to banner on this, this is great. Okay, according to the LAFC website, 20 under 9 U12 teams. Is that correct?
LF Legends FC or LA Football Club?
I'm sorry, Legends.
20 teams?
Yes.
20? Under 9 and under 10, I think that's wrong.
Under 9 through under 12.
No, that's under 9 through under 12?
Yeah.
That's probably fair. We actually break it down under 9 and under 10. That's one group, and then U11 and above is a different group.
Okay. My goodness, I just lost my spot here. One second here. That's what happens when you work with computers here. This frees up just a little bit. So you're looking – okay, now, what exactly is the estimated based on for your gear per player? We're talking uniforms, sweats, and all that stuff. All that stuff is mandatory, correct?
The sweats are separate. The sweats is the only thing that's not included in the package. But I would say a rough estimate per player is close to $200 between. We give them two full uniforms, home and away, and we gave them a backpack this year, which turned out to be a major expense, and then they also get some training T-shirts and additional stuff to fill their package.
Okay.
The warm-ups are separate, so I'd say about $200 per player, give or take.
Per player, okay. Your fee per kid to play is $1,600 a year, you said, right?
Right. U11 and above.
U11 and above. For U9 to U10 is what,
$1,200?
$1,200, okay. Okay.
It used to be $1,400, now it's $1,200.
Not $1,200, so you drop down. So you drop down. Okay,
so hopefully that's a little bit of a...
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go with the olders here. Obviously, because these other kids are going to be moving up eventually, getting older. Let's go with the olders here. $1,600, you already broke down exactly. $200 of it goes to gear and all that. With the $1,600, what are they getting besides the gear?
You're getting the full-time training and coaching.
Okay.
You get a full camp, club camp. You get speed and agility, an outside hired source. There's 2 days a week. Bob Allman, who's a head coach at Cal State Fullerton, is the goalie trainer. You get all your registration fees. You get four tournaments. You get all your coach.
Yeah, national
stuff. Your, like you said, the two full uniforms, the backpack.
National Cup, referee fees,
that's a huge expense. Your city fees, your light fees, which we get hit huge on, which you probably know in the Ventura area, it's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Setup costs for our field on the weekends from the community parks. Ayala charges a huge maintenance fee for being there for the whole day on Sundays and Saturdays. A lot of that's on the operation side. They go through the details of that.
Any tournaments involved?
Yeah, four tournaments, I said.
Four tournaments, okay. Each tournament averages, about $400 a tournament, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
$400?
About $550.
Yeah, but I'm saying an average. You know, some tournaments I see for three, some tournaments I see as high as $650. So let's break it down average in the middle, so about $400, $425. So you have four of those right there already. Okay, this is a year-round club for you guys. Give me the months that you considered a player to when he signs on a team and he must play the year. You know, in other words, his contract is for what is a year-round for you guys over there at Legends? Obviously, he starts.
Sorry,
for example,
what was the question?
This is a year-round club, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is it a 12-month year-round club? Is it a 10-month year-round club? Or is it right after Nationals, you guys tend to lay low a little bit, allow your players to probably kick back until summertime, until bring it up? What? How many months exactly are these kids playing with the Legends FC uniform? For the $1,600, what do they get? How many months are they playing?
It's a 12-month program.
Okay,
you know, obviously there's, you know, kids that are in high school. They don't play for us for during that time. But the coaches still have to work towards continuing to make the team stronger and set up some of the college showcases and stuff like that. So, you know, we're a 12-month-a-year soccer program. There's different areas of the year where there's going to maybe be less activity, which is based on kind of the level of the team and based on maybe the timing of the year.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we stay running for 12 months, but, you know, some teams operate 10. You know, older teams obviously have the high school months. You know, we give, you know, we feel it's important to also give time off in between that 12-month span, which a lot of times into December with the holidays and maybe a month in the summer to regroup and get refreshed and make sure when you come into preseason you're ready to prepare yourself when you're peaking at the right time, which it is season.
Okay. All right, so 12-month
program. Uh-huh. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, so 12-month program, you're looking at, I broke it down here while I was listening to you guys. Parents are paying $134 a month for a 12-month program. If you
right.
break it down a week, that's $33.25 a week that they're playing in order for their kids to be part of the
Not bad, huh?
I mean, what, exactly. And in all fairness over there, Josh is at a game. He's at one of the what game are you at over there, Josh?
The men are playing right now.
The men's are, okay, the Legends FC men's are. What's the score over there?
2-0.
2-0. All right, congrats. I hear they just scored one.
You're
looking at 134
a month. I have a son that plays club soccer and I would never mention the other club's names, but and I believe it's fair what they charge, but we came from a club. The last couple of years we've been on two clubs, $1,800 and now $2,800. And I think it is fair for those fees, you know, and the club, it's the club's responsibility to provide what's in those fees, and that's what
exactly.
we're going to do. We're going to provide a great program for the kids, and we feel it's very reasonable. We realize we're in the inland area where it is difficult. We can't charge the Orange County pricing. We have to keep it very reasonable, and we feel, like you said, for $33 a week for 2 days a week training, I mean, you break that down to a $15 training session from a professional coach, I think it's...
Let's not forget, Billy, it's a two-hour session. It's a two-hour session each practice, correct?
Right.
Okay, so you're looking at $7.50 an hour.
Yeah, some trainings are an hour and a half, some do two.
Yeah.
Depends on the age, depends on the level.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, I don't understand this. There's so many clubs out there that have different prices. Okay, we had a kid that came to us who played under nine at a club out here in San Fernando. By the time it was over, from the first day of kickoff of Coast Soccer League till the last whistle blown of State Cup, the father coughed up, including everything, paying the coaches, helping with the gas and his hotel room and tournaments and this, that. He paid close to $6,600.
Wow. And that's in Ventura?
No, that's not in Ventura. This is out here in San Fernando.
Okay.
This is out here in San Fernando. One of the teams out here close to Woodland Hills, West Hills, Calabasas area. $6,600.
Wow.
Once everything was over. Under nine. Under nine. I mean, come on.
Our goal, John, and people might think differently, was to make it as cheap as possible. We didn't go in saying, how can we gouge and make it high? We said, how can we keep it affordable for our players? How could we keep it affordable for our U9s and 10s to want to make the jump from ASO, where they're paying $75, to our program that
right.
is, you know, $1,200 for U9s and 10s. And for the older $1,600, we felt it very competitive. Even some of the local moms and pop clubs, which are still great, which are still providing, you know, instruction to soccer, and I think all levels of soccer is awesome, from ASO to rec leagues to whatever it is, and we just choose to try to be a club that can offer three different levels, a high level, a mid level, and a low level, where players can develop at their own rate and give them all the extra training tools for them to get better and reach their fullest potential, and that is our goal. And our goal was to keep it as low as possible, and we couldn't go any lower than 1,600 and 1,200, John.
No, I agree with you, especially with what you're offering and what it needs to be done. I mean, this is competitive soccer. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to put a, you're going to have to try to, you want to put a good product out there, the product being the actual players. In order for the product to shine, in order for the product to look good, in order for the product to be attractive, you have to obviously put something in their background to get them to that level. And this is obviously, for the $1,600 which you guys are providing, I don't see any problem with that at all. I mean, obviously, you know, there's clubs out there, listeners, for everybody. If you don't feel like playing the $1,600, you want to drop down, pay a little less, and you feel, you know, that's up to you guys. But I have not seen any problem with Legends FC. What I saw in that tournament, what I've seen, the dedication, is to me is second to none. I was not happy with the refereeing, but then again, that has nothing to do with Legends FC. Everybody hires an association. Okay, nobody's ever happy with the referee in the first place. So, but aside of that, we will definitely be back next year to play the tournament, unless, you know, obviously something happens. But you know, I find Josh to be. I didn't get a chance to meet Billy. It's the first time I'm talking to him. I had a chance to meet Josh. Checked out his coaching. I mean, he was great with his girls. He wasn't anybody really going off on the girls or you know, being disrespectful or anything. So, checked out the other Legends coaches. Everything seemed to be a class act. And especially that check-in desk. I mean, those parents, I mean, who wants to be there at for 4 hours at 110-degree weather, checking in players and all that stuff? I mean, those parents are smiling all the time. I mean, kudos to your parents, guys. They were just a class act. And Angela, unbelievable. Great.
Right.
The first time putting
wow,
out
big
something.
Thanks to Angela at the tournament. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Her
husband, too, was a nice
burning.
Her husband was very nice as well. He was one of the field marshals out there until late night. I forgot his name. I'm sorry about that. But
Al.
What's his name?
Al.
Okay. And he, nice guy. Very nice guy as well. So, but, guys, thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break. We have to, when we come back, we're going to come back with Sandy Castillo, who is with Top Soccer. She'll be with us very shortly. Billy, Josh, thank you for being with us. Thank you for clearing up a little bit about what's going on. I mean, Josh, thanks for making the call. And as always, you know, our doors here at Soccer Raiders always open, you guys. As long as you guys are doing something for the kids, man, we are here for you. That's the main thing. This is what this show's about. It's for the kids club here in Southern California. And as long as you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing, we'll be glad to have you guys on the show or promote anything you guys have. So thanks a lot for being with us. Billy, Josh, you guys want to recap anything before we go?
No, thanks. And, John, thanks for having us on the show. It's great. I've listened to 3 episodes now, and it's awesome
cool.
to hear people giving back to the community, too.
Well, good, man. I'm glad. We're trying to make it informative. I mean, I know when the season begins, it's going to be awesome. I mean, right now we're just trying to make things a little, trying to get people out on the show to know about us and just trying to do things clean and informative out here and fresh for the soccer community. So we're looking forward to being here for a long time. Well, you're listening to Soccer Radio. Our guests today were from Legends FC. They are the DOCs from Legends FC. We had Billy Bizarro, who is the boys' DOC, and we had Josh Hodges, who is the girls' DOC. So they were with us tonight, clearing up a few things about the club. We thank them very much for being with us. Guys, enjoy your evening. When we come back, we're going to go with Sandy Castillo from Cal South Top Soccer. We'll be right back after this short break with Sandy Castillo. You're listening to Soccer Radio.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Wave of the future, the wave of the future will come. Hello. This is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.
Hi, everybody. This is Senior Fever, and you're listening to Dr. Bell. Well, I forgot to say who I am. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, keep that, Don. Be sure and keep that in there. I like those improvs. Yeah, go ahead. Especially with a laugh and all that.
Who am I? I just forgot.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Soccer Radio. I'm your host, Johnny Ventura. You're listening to us on the World Wide Web on bbsradio.com. We thank you. Today's date is June 11th, 2008, and we've been on the air now for a little bit over 2 months, man. We're glad to bring this little show here, broadcasting in the hills of San Fernando Valley, an informative show about soccer, club soccer here in Southern California. Our first half hour, we had the reps from Legends FC, which was Josh Hodges and Billy Bizarro. They're the DOCs over there, and they just wanted to clear up some things on the bantering forums over on SoCal Soccer Forum. So we'd love to have a little bit longer, but we need to go with our guest. This is something we've been planning for a couple weeks. We're happy to have her with us. She has a great organization that is tied in with Cal South. This is just an incredible organization. Her name is Sandy Castillo, and she is the Cal South top soccer chairperson, administrator, and co-founder for Top Soccer and just for Top Soccer. And we have her on the line. Sandy, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. There's something I like better than to talk about my kids and Top Soccer and what great programs are springing up all over Southern California, which is just amazing.
Well, great. We love, well, that's why you're here, and we know that you're doing something very good over there on the other end with Cal South, and we just want you to, for our listeners, I mean, I know what Top Soccer is about, but for some of our listeners who may have heard this word for the first time, why don't you explain to our listeners what Top Soccer is all about?
Okay, Top Soccer is the outreach program for soccer. It was developed in 1991 in Pittsburgh by a woman named Peggy Neeson. In 1992, a really good friend of mine named Nancy Ellingson heard about the program. She has a daughter with Down syndrome and was looking for a place for her daughter to play since she was no longer able to play in recreational soccer. She heard about this program and called me and asked me if I would help her coach, and I had no idea what I was getting into. She had, we had 8 kids when we started. All these kids are special needs kids. We don't have any requirements as to what kind of needs they have. If they have behavioral issues, if they have Down syndrome, we have children with autism. Our only requirement is that for whatever reason they can't play in regulations in recreational soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have programs where we are an ability-based program. There is no age limit for these children to play. I call them children, and that's just because I'm an old woman. But they really are just players. They're people who want to play soccer, and Top Soccer gives them an opportunity to go out there and do something that every other child has an opportunity to do.
That's, it sounds like a great, great, great program. I mean, you have a league for this, Top Soccer, right?
Yes, we do.
When does the league actually start?
Well, each league, you know, each club, each league has a program. Each mm-hmm. programs are run independently. JUSA has the oldest program. We've been around since 1992. This is going to be our 17th season. We have 97 kids. This year we have ASA, Anaheim Soccer Association, is going to be starting a Top Soccer program. Windermar is going to be starting a Top Soccer program. Plus, we have existing clubs that have been around. We're hoping to eventually have a league where we can play against each other. A lot of the clubs don't, a lot of the Top Soccer programs don't want to travel just because the parents are a little uncomfortable with that. But some programs love to travel, like the JUSA program loves to travel. We've been going to Vegas every year for a tournament. Some of the clubs, like this year we're hoping to play against another club. A couple of clubs, new Top Soccer programs that are starting up, have shown interest in playing interleague within ourselves. So that's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to having more travel and more play within the Top Soccer programs.
Well, it sounds like a great program. I mean, my son, who is on a U13 club team, when I mentioned to him about a week ago that I was going to have you on the air, and I said it was Top Soccer, you know, when the word soccer is there, his eyes light up. That's it, period. You know, and he goes, Dad, what's Top Soccer? And I was reading up on Top Soccer, and I told him what this thing was all about. And then his question was, he wasn't too sure what Down syndrome was, and I explained to him what Down syndrome is. And he said to me, so these kids have to have their own league. I said, well, son, I go, they don't have to have their own league. Basically, is they can't compete, obviously, with your level of playing, but to make it fun for them and enjoyable and to act like they're competing, there's this Sandy Castillo has put something together that she calls a Top Soccer. And she always looks for volunteers. And then immediately he says, what do they do? I said, well, let's read up. Then we read up on it. It looks like you have people that put on clinics or help out and things. And so he will be there at the end of this month as a volunteer.
Oh, he's coming to the fest.
He is coming to the fest. And that is the next thing is he's going to be hanging 10 at Julie's place.
Oh, exactly.
So
this is exciting.
So he actually, I didn't ask him about it, see if he wanted to volunteer. He said, Dad, I'd like to volunteer. And I looked at him, and I'm like, wow, man. It was just one of those proud moments, you know?
Yeah, have you sent in your form yet?
No, that was my next question. Since he did send in his form, can he still be a volunteer? Can we still get him in?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Just make sure you fax that to form to me as soon as possible, okay?
Sure.
Or you can email it to me, whatever. Well, let me tell you about the fest, how it came about.
And it's called, called Hangin' 10 at Julie's Place.
At Julie's Place. This year we're doing a Hawaiian theme.
Okay.
When I was appointed top soccer chair at my very first Adidas workshop, I met Peggy Neeson again, and she put on a festival, or she called it a jamboree, in Pittsburgh. And I thought, this is a great way of promoting the top soccer program, because mm-hmm. part of our name is also outreach. So I asked the Cal South board if I was able to travel there to kind of see what they did, because I really wanted to do something here. And, you know, they said, fine, go ahead and go. You know, I still think they kind of look at me like I was a little nuts, and, you know, I think I am, but that's okay. You know, it's all for the good of the kids. So I went there, and it was this great day event that she puts on. So I came back after that, and I talked to the Cal South board and said, I really want to do this, and they said, okay. So then I went to the JUSA board, and I said, I really want to do this, and they said, okay. So we started with we have a committee that we put together, and we invite any athlete with top soccer, any athlete with special needs is able to participate in this event. They can register the day of the event, which is June 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Top soccer athletes, or athletes with special needs, arrive at 9:30. Our volunteers, we get them there at 7:30 in the morning because we have to set up the event.
Right.
So we came back, and Julie's Place is a very special place to me. It's at Wagner Elementary School. I'll give you the address. It's 717 East Yorba Linda Boulevard, Placentia, California. The zip is 92870. When we started this program back in 92, my daughter was 12 years old at the time, and she decided that she was going to be a part of this, whether I wanted her there or not. She was a typical child, a typical 12-year-old, and so she started coming out working with our kids, and she fell in love. And she continued this even after high school. When she was in college, she continued to go on. When she got her first part-time job, the only way she would take the job was with the stipulation that she have Friday afternoons off and Saturday afternoons off, because she had to be at the field with the kids.
Okay.
If they scheduled her for a job to work that day, she would get really upset and kind of talk to her manager and say, no, this is the reason I'm working. I'm not going to take this time to work, so you got to change my schedule. In 2000, she was with a friend who was driving, and the friend got lost, and she was involved in a very severe car accident. She became a quadriplegic as a result of the accident, and we lost her 8.5 weeks later. The parents of my JUSA team loved her, and because she was such a part of the program and really loved the kids, that they dedicated the park to her, where we used to meet. And the park is called Julie's Place, where love of the game and laughter live, because my daughter loved the game of soccer, and she was all about laughter and fun. And so in order to keep her spirit alive on the field, because this is what she loved, we always have it at Julie's Place. So that's where Julie's Place comes from. This is why this event is so special to me, because it's a way of keeping my daughter's spirit alive, and it's a way of outreaching to the community and having them become a part of something that she loves so much. What we do is we invite the community to come out. We set up stations for the kids to play. One of the kids' favorites is Soak the Coach. And you may ask
what that's all about.
Soak the Coach is fun. We set up, we have a coach that sits in a little wading pool in a chair, dressed up. This year he'll be dressed up in a hula skirt, because it's a Hawaiian theme. And if the top soccer app player makes a goal, and we have a little small goal, and if they make a goal, they get to soak the coach with a water gun. Those big super soakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why we call it Soak the Coach. And then this year we have a brand new game that's called Ski Bowl.
Okay.
There's a company that one of our committee members works for. I don't know if I can say the name. It's Reborn Cabinets. They're really a great company. They donate a lot of stuff to us every year. They make a different piece of equipment for us each year. We're having a ski bowl where the kids will actually kick the ball up, and make points like you do at Chuck E. Cheese or,
right.
You know, so we've got that new game coming up.
Right.
And then we'll end up with actual soccer games, where the volunteers will actually be playing soccer games against our athletes. So it's just a real fun day. Oh, we also give them all lunch. They get a vet T-shirt. They go home with a goodie bag. But the goal is not just to give out good things to everybody else. It's
right.
to really let the community understand that our athletes are that. They are players.
Exactly.
I think one of the things that I do try to tell everybody is that I think the biggest obstacle that we have within the program and in getting more people involved in the program or starting new top soccer programs is that when we look at our kids, we look at the disability first. And I'm guilty of that. I can honestly say that when I first started this, that is what I looked at. I looked at the disability of the child instead of looking at the athlete or the kid first.
Well, that is presented first when, unfortunately, when you do see children with this type of illness, Down syndrome. I mean, but then again, you know, you get to see beyond that. You get
yeah.
to see beyond the kids, and it's just I had a player in one of my clinics who had Down syndrome, and who has Down syndrome, by the way, and he became part of the clinic because his friends. His neighbors that he hung out was part of this clinic, and the mother brought him over, and we had a talk, and it was just amazing. The kid was just lit up. All he could talk about is just Saturday mornings at 10:30.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
When is he going to be there? When is he going to be there? And it was just something just remarkable. We had him for about 6 months, and then he moved. But it was amazing. It was just for you to put something on like this and to be part of this it's just remarkable. I mean, it's a very special event that is happening, hanging at Julie's place. I mean, just to recap what you mentioned, it is June 28th, 2008. It's at Wagner Elementary School, and the address, guys, is 717 East Yorba Linda Boulevard in the city of Placentia, California, 92870. Now, in order for this to work, Sandy and her crew obviously want volunteers to assist at this event. As she mentioned, athletes will be moving from station to station.
Yes.
The volunteers show up from 7 o'clock to 7:30 to set up the stations.
Right.
And about what time do the actual athletes show up?
The athletes show up between 9:30 and 10.
Okay.
After the event, after the stations are set up, what we do is we do a short orientation.
Okay.
As to what's going to happen. We answer any questions they may have. We do a little talk about differences. Because I think it's really important that we're not shy about talking about our athletes. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just something that happened. They're typical kids that just have more challenges in life.
Exactly.
And so what we do is we do a little comparison about why they play soccer, you know, and we just ask these questions as to why the typical child plays or the competitive player plays soccer, and then we ask them why the top soccer athlete plays soccer.
Right.
And then we go into special needs. And we ask, one of the questions is, are they bad at math? Do they have asthma? Do they have allergies?
Right.
Do they wear glasses? Well, and then we kind of point out that those are special needs, although they are hidden needs that people just don't look at as a special need, but they are a special need. Our needs, if you look at our athletes, you can tell that they have special needs, a little more obvious.
Right.
And then we look about appearances, because some of my kids do look different. But we point out that every child looks different unless they actually have a twin. That everybody is special. So that's part of the orientation, is getting them to start looking at the similarities that they have instead of focusing on the differences. And we make assignments. We like to assign, each of the top soccer player a buddy. A buddy is just someone who helps them go from station to station, especially with our younger athletes. We have some kids as young as, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, and they need someone to assist them and just to be their friend for the day. For our older athletes, it's just someone just to be the big cheerleader on the sidelines. And so we go over their assignments and where they're going to be, if they're going to be face painting today, if they're going to be, we have artists out there who want to face paint. We've got a place for them. If they're real uncomfortable working with the kids, and that's okay. I mean, it's okay to be uncomfortable. We'll have them maybe work at a station instead of actually working with the actual, you know, kids one-on-one. The athletes arrive at 9:30. We hope the events get underway at 10 o'clock. We have to be really adaptable. You know, part of being a part of top soccer is being able to adapt. because we never know what's going to get thrown at us. So the start time is 10 o'clock, and that's the time that we're hoping.
How late does it go till?
Well, we do, the event goes until 12:30, then we do lunch from 12:30, and then we do awards. Every athlete gets a participation medal.
Oh, that's nice.
So we're hoping to be done by 2 o'clock.
Okay, by 2 o'clock.
Before the cleanup. Yeah. Of course, cleanup is mandatory for all volunteers.
Yeah.
You know? So between 2:30 and 3.
Yeah. And of course, volunteers, as Sandy said, is a must. And this is a free event to all athletes of special needs, correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's free to everybody. We're very fortunate that CalSouth and JUSA sponsor the event. We've got some really great sponsors. Coast Soccer League donated some of the funds so that we could purchase some of the stuff that we needed. SCORE gives us a real big break on our T-shirts that we give out to everybody. Mm-hmm. So we've been very fortunate that we have a lot of sponsors that come through for us and, you know, help us put on this event. And yes, I mean, we're not in this event to make money. I mean, it would be nice if you could ever break even with stuff, but that's not the goal. The goal is to get Top Soccer out there. There are, I was doing a research for a grant that I was writing. Mm-hmm. There are over 600,000 people with disabilities in the state of California, from the ages of 0 to 22. That's the only age that they keep track of. That's through the U.S. Figures for Education. If you half that, just take that in half, and say half of them are in Cal North and half are in Cal South, that's over 300,000 people out there with disabilities. And after the age of 22, there's nothing for them to do.
Did the article say which disability was number one?
No, it doesn't. Although the fastest growing disability that we're seeing in our top soccer programs is autism.
Autism
is affecting a lot because it's such a big syndrome. Autism encompasses a lot of different syndromes. One, for example, is Rett syndrome, which is part of autism. Mm-hmm. Fragile X, which is part of autism as well. And autism is usually a behavioral problem. They don't have their cognitive skills, maybe not lacking, especially in the socialization, which is what we work with when they're out there on the soccer field. We try to get them to interact with other kids, and it takes time. It can happen, and it does happen. We've had a lot of great kids that have come through that have a lot of real issue with behavior. When they first start with us, and 3 or 4 years later, you see them, and you're thinking, that's the same kid that we had 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it does work. But there are so many kids out there. In CalSouth last year, we had a little over 300 athletes in top soccer programs. You know, that's, what, 1%
mm-hmm.
of the kids that we're actually reaching. And it's not for lack of trying. We do go out and we're at Soccer Nation. We do presentations. We try. I go to the President's Summits if I can. Although this year I'm going to miss it because it conflicts with our Top Soccer Fest, and try to get people interested in starting Top Soccer program, because we really, it's a population that has been neglected for so long.
Right.
Thankfully, we're able to. We're making progress. Not as fast as I would like, but. You know, I have to learn patience is what my husband keeps telling me.
Well, you're on the right track, Sandy. You're definitely on the right track.
And it's not just me. There's a lot of people out there who really, truly believe in the program. And it's finding that one person that wants to make a difference and says, this is something that I can do. And that's what we're looking for. That's why we do these interviews and do the Top Soccer Fest. I had this interesting email from one of the parents who was signing up and wanted to know if it was still okay to sign up if it wasn't too late. In the email, she recounted that her daughter's team, her soccer team, had come out and played against my kids. And because of her experience, she is now an occupational therapist working with children with disabilities. Now, you know, that's the difference. Not only do we make a difference in the lives of the kids with special needs, we're making a difference in the lives of a typical child who maybe doesn't know what they want to do when they grow up.
Exactly.
Go to school. But you
this
know,
might be an eye opener for them. It might just trigger something. You know, they want
it does, and yeah. You know, and how great is that?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. So you're basically, I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, you're kind of planting the seed. You're doing a great thing for the kids that are involved in Top Soccer. However, you're kind of planting the seed for the other volunteers who may not know what they want to do in the future, and they say, "Hey, I like this is something I might want to do."
Oh yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, and that's I mean, so you're basically touching both sides of life here, which is great.
Yeah,
this is Soccer Radio. You're listening with Johnny Ventura, and our guest this evening is Sandy Castillo, who is the chairperson for Top Soccer. And just to recap, I want to let you guys know, please, this is a great event. It's called Hangin' 10 at Julie's Place. It's a very special event. It's the 6th annual Top Soccer Fest. For some of you who are probably thinking, hey, I thought this was in July. Yes, it was in July. Normally would have been in July, but things have been pushed up a little bit. And it is June 28th, 2008 at Wagner Elementary School. The address is 717 East Yorba Linda Boulevard, Placentia, California, 92870. They need volunteers. You know, you're going to have to fax your application, and the fax number is 714-524-3354. Is that the fax number?
No, the fax number is 714-524-1774.
Okay, I think the number I gave out is your actual line number, correct?
Yeah, but if they have any questions, they're welcome to call me at that number.
All right, so fax number again is 714-524-1774. If you want to contact Sandy, you can also email her at sandjules, that's S-A-N-D-J-U-L-E-S at cs.com, sandjules@cs.com. She'll be glad to fill you in some information about Top Soccer and what it's all about. How many kids do you actually get at this event when you normally do them, Sandy?
I believe last year we had between 70 and 80 kids. I'm not sure the numbers. Right now I have 54 kids signed up, and we're always looking for top soccer players. Top soccer players, any player with a special need, can sign up the day of the event if they don't sign up prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't limit how many top soccer athletes we will accept. We will accept everybody. Volunteers, we do have to have a limit on them. Right now I think we're at 120.
Okay.
And we'll take up to 150 to 175 athletes. Volunteers.
Volunteers. Okay.
Yeah.
So you could use a lot more volunteers.
We could use a lot more kids.
A lot more kids.
The kids.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's about the kids, and it's about all kids. It's not just my special needs kids. It's because the reality is that every child is a special need.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the stories I like to tell that people don't believe me is that I am a stutterer and I am very shy.
No.
Yes, I know. People don't believe that. But I am extremely shy, or I used to be. I've had to, when I find something that I'm very passionate about, you know, I'm not as quiet as I used to be. And this program is very special. It's not just the kids, because they do find a way to into your heart.
Right.
It's, you know, you want to make a difference, and I coached my daughter in rec from 1985 until she aged out in 98. I coached my daughter. I had a great time with the kids. Doing this is something that just kind of keeps me going, and it just to see the look on those kids' faces when they're actually playing soccer, or when you see them learning a skill that you've been working with them, and they've actually accomplished it, you go, wow, that's great. You know, this is so amazing that this child, that someone, when the parents were told that they could not do this, that they would not be able to play soccer, when they couldn't do this, because the parents are so used to hearing they can't, or they'll never be able to, or it's not possible for.
Right.
And then they come out to Top Soccer, and all the coaches, and this goes through all the programs throughout Cal South, the coaches, the administrators of the program, you know, the volunteers, the buddies that are out there, are telling the parents, yes, they can. And then to see them actually succeeding, to see them succeed when they were told they can't, is such an amazing thing. You just kind of go out there, it's like always brings tears to people's eyes, and you have to kind of fight that off because it's such a joyous occasion.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It's wonderful. There's nothing like it. There is absolutely nothing like it.
That's why I got involved in coaching,
particularly
for the kids. And it's just a wonderful feeling. I mean, the kids on my team, I'm picking them up. I probably have about six or seven kids that I transport practice games and stuff because parents are not able to do it, but the kids want to play, so I'll go that extra mile to get them here. And it's just for the kids. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, it's a great feeling, and my son sees that in me, and I think this. I'm glad it rubbed off on him, and he wants to be a volunteer for this event, and he will be there, and we'll definitely get his application out to you. We'll fax it out to you.
It really does change people's lives. I've had a lot of the volunteers that we have coming out are people who have come out year after year, that they've seen the program. Last year I had a father come up and say, you know, because of the date, we had to cut our vacation short. Mm-hmm. My daughters say they're not going to miss it. So they actually cut their vacation short to come to the fest because it has become, and it's not just the kids that are coming out. It's the parents. I mean, the families parents are making it a family event.
Yeah.
We have the kids, we have both parents, and we have all the siblings out there. So it's not just, you know, the Cal South player that's coming out. It's the Cal South player plus all their siblings and all their family members. But there are other events besides the fest that are coming up. I mean, I know, Placentia and Orange County may be a little difficult for some people to come to. La Jolla is having an event on August. I have a date right here in my calendar. I should have pulled this up before. On August 17th, La Jolla is doing their sixth annual Top Soccer Day, and that one is a little bit different than how we run our event. But they are also doing an event down in San Diego County. And we've got, there's a soccer camp that is being put on by Rancho Santa Margarita, on July 28th from 9 to 12, which is a free camp to any top soccer athlete. And I know that we have another event coming up in December 20th at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. They are also hosting a top soccer event. And all these events are free. All the information is available at the Cal South website. This is an opportunity for players that, for some reason, can't make it to the big fest here. Maybe they'll be able to attend those other events. One of the difficulties that we have in top soccer is getting the parents to trust us with their children. Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully will help bring down that wall.
Yeah. And how do the kids? How do the kids feel? Do they feel that warmth? Do they trust you guys immediately?
The kids do, because I'll tell you, my kids can spot a phony quicker than anybody else can.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come out, a lot of times don't understand that they have been discriminated against. The parents get the looks. I'm sure you've been at the grocery store where you had this child throwing a fit because he's not getting what he wants, and so he's throwing the temper tantrum.
Yeah, well, some of you were at Ralph's tonight. My six-year-old was doing that this evening, so I know exactly all that is.
As we were talking about earlier about that, autism is the fastest-growing syndrome that's out there that's affecting our children. When a typical child has a temper tantrum, they usually calm down within, 15 minutes because mom and dad just kind of look at them and let them do their thing and take them out to the car and remove them from the situation. And they get disciplined, and then, they don't do this again. Well, a child with autism, a lot of times, once they get to the level of frustration where they lose control, it takes a long time for them to get calmed down.
Right.
So you have people looking at them thinking, oh, you're a horrible parent. And so they feel like they're getting judged a lot harsher. And a lot of times it's not the child's fault. I mean, they've lost control, and it's hard to rein them in. I've got to tell you the story. This is the absolute truth. My kids are playing it, and I'm not going to say any names because I want to protect the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
We were at
go ahead.
Cal State Fullerton back in 2000. Our kids always played at halftime, and they were out there playing. And from what I understand, this was right after I lost my daughter, so I wasn't at the game. The kids were playing an awesome game. It was 0-0. The crowd was going crazy. There were about 5,000 fans in the stand, and my kids were playing down there. They were playing against each other. with about 5 seconds left to go, one of the teams scored against our goalie. Our goalie got so upset, he literally stripped off his uniform and went streaking through Cal State Fullerton Stadium with the coaches right behind him. The crowd went nuts. The crowd thought it was the greatest thing they had ever seen. They were, you know, going nuts. They were clapping. When they finally caught the kid from running and put his clothes back on, took him to his parents, he had gotten so frustrated and was so out of control because the other team had scored on him that it took his parents over 4 hours to calm him down.
Really?
Yeah. Now, he did come back, which is surprising. But that's what happens when we're working with our kids, we always have to make sure that we don't get them to that point where they get totally out of control. So you're kind of watching for the frustration level. So that's part of one of the issues that we have, is that this can happen with our kids. And so the parents are used to being judged. They're used to their child may act inappropriately at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so people look at them and they judge them as bad parents. So they bring that distrust in, you know, to where we are. I don't have a child with a disability. I did for 8.5 weeks when my daughter became a quadriplegic. But I don't deal with this on a day-to-day basis. This is not something that I live with at home, where I have a child with a special need. These parents deal with it 24/7. So they are used to being judged. They are used to being people making opinions and looking at them and looking at their child like their child is different. So coming to a top soccer program and coming to these people, these do-gooders who are saying, I really want to help your child, they kind of look at us with mistrust. So it takes us a while to break that down, to kind of say, you know, we really are here for your child. You know, I have no personal agenda. I'm not, you know, trying to gain anything from this except, you know, the joy of being with your child.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's difficult for them. And believe me, I don't blame them. I really don't, because, you know, I don't have to live their life. And I don't have to see the looks that they get. So for them to come and say, you know, we really don't trust you, they won't say it, but you can kind of understand it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what we hope to break down with these festivals and with these different events that we put on, that, you know, we are really here for your child.
Good. And, like you said, it probably takes some time. But, you know, after they see the good that you're doing and you know, like you said, the kid can see it for the beginning. I mean,
right.
They can pick it. But the parents, I do understand that it's like the mother protecting her cubs. You know, it's until she gets a little more comfortable, then she'll tend to open up her arms and let people in. You're listening to Soccer Radio, and our guest this evening is Sandy Castillo, Cal South top soccer chairperson, and JUSA top soccer coach, administrator, co-founder. She has a great program about top soccer. And if you want to find out more information, you can log on to the Cal South website. That is calsouth.com. If you want to read up on what Top Soccer is all about, we have a very special event that is happening on the 28th of this month. It's called Hangin' 10 at Julie's Place. It's a 6th annual Top Soccer Fest, Wagner Elementary School, 717 East Yorba Linda Boulevard in the city of Placentia. The zip code there is 92870. Volunteers are needed. Kids are needed. This is free to all athletes with special needs. There is no fee collected at the door. You don't have to sign up ahead of time. You can just show up, like Sandy mentioned. June 28th, we need volunteers. Give Sandy a call or email. You can call her at 714 area code 524. That is 714-524-3354. 714-524-3354. Email her at sandjules@cs.com. Call us Cal South, too. Hit the website. Give them a phone call. They'll be glad to give you all information about Top Soccer and for you to contact Sandy Castillo. Sandy, we appreciate you being with us tonight, talking about Top Soccer. It sounds like a great organization. Obviously, you're doing something really, really just great for the kids, and that's the main thing, and you're surrounded with two very well-known identities, which is Cal South and Coast Soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we thank them, obviously. And
oh, yeah. And, believe me, one of the things is we look for volunteers or we're looking for games. Mm-hmm. Coast Soccer League has been wonderful. They just, you know, they always step up to the plate and help out when they can, and it's usually all the time. They've just always been very great. You know, Karen Sparks is wonderful. I send her an email when I need help, and she always comes through for us, and, you know, I can't thank her enough. The other thing that has helped our growth is the last 3 years, CalSouth has been hosting a top soccer coaches workshop. One of the things that I think people don't understand is that, yes, there are the YM3 classes and the E-license classes, but there's no classes available to work with children with special needs. Rick Flores from La Jolla Soccer Club, he's the director of coaches there. Him and I put together a CalSouth top soccer coaching manual, and it was just a combination of all the information that I've gathered over the years about working with children with special needs. And we put this book together, and I approached CalSouth about doing a coaches workshop because working with children with special needs is a special niche within the soccer community. Mm-hmm. And so for the last 3 years, we have hosted a CalSouth top soccer workshop, and where coaches that work with children with special needs, any coach that was interested in starting a program and really didn't have an idea of how to work with the kids was able to come and have this clinic. Rick Flores put on the clinic to work with the kids, and so it's been very successful. Coaches leave with a little more understanding and a little more confidence in working with our kids because, as I said, it is a special niche. You know, some of the issues that we deal with on the field are things that most coaches don't deal with, you know, on a typical kid, unless you're, you know, in clinic.
Right.
But other than that, a lot of the issues that we have, most kids don't have, most programs don't deal with. So it's been great. We've got a lot of support from the board of directors from CalSouth, from Coast Soccer League, from all of the new programs that are starting up, where the board of directors have decided that this is a really important part of soccer, that my kids aren't being excluded anymore, that they are able to participate in soccer. So I mean, there's a lot of great programs that are starting up, great board of directors that are making this a priority, and that's what we need, is that this is an important issue. Our kids are important, and they're just as valuable as anybody else. You know, they're out there for the love of the game.
Right.
You know, we don't have any temper tantrums on the sidelines from the parents because their kids aren't having, you know, don't get the same amount of playing time as somebody else. Those issues we don't deal with. I mean, we don't have that. What we get is parents that are grateful that there's an opportunity for their child to play. Parents that can actually sit on the sidelines and say, my child is a soccer player.
Exactly.
Where before they were told, your kid can't do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're playing sports. There is nothing that our kids can't accomplish. A player may start off needing a buddy, but they end up playing independently. That's the goal for all our kids. You know, don't we want the best of our kids? We want them to play to the best of their ability. That's what we want for a typical child, a kid playing club,
yes.
ODP, whatever level they play.
Exactly.
We want them to be able to achieve the best that they can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. We do.
And,
exactly.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we want for our kids, for the top soccer kids. We want the same thing. Whether their level, whether the extent of their level be that they have to have a buddy, that's okay.
Yeah.
We don't say that that's where we set the ceiling. The ceiling that we set for all our players is that they play independently 11v11 with a few modifications of the rules, with a referee and no coaches on the field and no buddies. That is the goal for all our athletes. Now, will all our athletes achieve that goal? Maybe not this year, and maybe not next, and maybe not 5 years from now. But that doesn't mean that we don't keep dreaming and we don't keep hoping and we don't keep working and we don't keep having confidence that they will eventually get there.
Right. Right. And it's like baby steps, you know. It's just eventually it'll happen, and this is just remarkable. It's remarkable. I'm glad that there is a program out there for kids to do this. And you're doing something well. You're doing something very well here. And like I said, CalSouth
Kudos to Cal South and Coast Soccer League for being a part of this. We're winding down our show, Sandy. We're getting to the end here. I do want to throw this in before we sign off here. Once again, folks, this is called Hanging Ten at Julie's Place, 6th Annual Top Soccer Fest on June 28th at Wagner Elementary School, 717 East Yorba Linda Boulevard in Placentia. They need volunteers. Please contact calsouth.com for more information. You can email Sandy at, my goodness, I just had your email.
Sandjules
at cs.com. There we go, Sandjules at cs.com. Also, you can send us an email. We'll be glad to send you out some information about Top Soccer, anything about the Soccer Fest on the 28th. You can email us at soccerradio at gmail.com. Once again, that's soccerradio at gmail.com. Sandy, we thank you so much for being with us this evening, and I'm glad that we had a chance for you to talk a little bit about Top Soccer. I know we can go on, but you know we went a little overtime today. It's supposed to be an hour show, but we had two guests with us, and we'll see you on the 28th. And,
well, thank you very much for having me on. You know, any opportunity that I have to promote the Top Soccer program, I take, because this is very important to me and to all the kids that we are actually able to provide soccer opportunities for.
Oh, we thank you. Thank you for being with us. And we'd like to thank Cal South for allowing Sandy to be with us. They put this together, especially to Bill Lewis, the Director of Marketing and Sales for Cal South. Bill, thank you so much. You've been a trooper and talking back and forth and getting this together to have Sandy on the air with us here at Soccer Radio. Before we sign off, I do want to mention that the local team here in the San Fernando Valley for the WPSL, which is Los Angeles Rampage, the women's team, has a doubleheader being played this weekend. We'd like for you to join us out at Granada Hills High School. Yours truly is the voice of LA Rampage. I announce all the games, not play-by-play, but I do announce players, you know, throw-ins and substitutes and things like that there at the stadium. So come on by the booth. You know, I always like to get a chance to see my listeners and get a chance to see if you how you like the show and fill us in all that. So it's at Granada Hills High School, June 14th, which is this Saturday. L.A. Rampage plays West Coast FC. Now, let's not forget, L.A. Rampage is still undefeated. Okay? They have not lost a game. So they're going to take their winning streak against West Coast FC this Saturday on the 14th. That game is at 7 o'clock and is at Granada Hills. Free. It is free, guys. Come on out. It's a night game. It's a great field. AstroTurf, it was just remarkable. All home games, I've done a couple of them already. It's just a great atmosphere out there. And then come back on Sunday, June 15th, when they play against San Diego United. That also is at Granada Hills. That game is at 6 p.m. If you want more information, you can log on to rampagefc.com. You can contact us here at Soccer Radio. We'll be glad to let you know more about the WPSL League. And come on out. Bring the family. Have a good time. They have a great snack bar there. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys. That's this Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m., Granada Hills High against West Coast FC. And on the 15th, Sunday, against San Diego United at Granada Hills High at 6 p.m. when Rampage FC, the WPSL women's team, takes their undefeated streak for this weekend's doubleheader. All right, so we thank you for listening. I'm your host, Johnny Ventura. We had a couple guests with us. We'd like to thank Josh Hodges and Billy Bizarro, who are DLCs over at Legends FC. We'd like to thank Sandy Castillo, who is involved with Cal South Top Soccer. She's chairperson, JUSA Top Soccer coach, administrator, co-founder. The bashful always Sandy Castillo, which you never know it. So we'd like to thank Sandy for being with us this evening. Head on out there, guys. Hanging Ten at Julie's Place. It's a remarkable event. It's for a good cause. That is June 28th. All right? Thank you for joining us. I'm Johnny Ventura. Before I go, Soccer Radio is owned and trademarked by Lucky Bum Productions Incorporated and distributed by Youth Sports Radio Network Incorporated. Shows are produced and aired at the studios of Platinum Sound Entertainment. All shows are copyright. Any reproduction or retransmission without the written consent of Lucky Bum Productions Incorporated, Youth Sports Radio Network Incorporated, or BBS Radio, is strictly prohibited. We thank you for being with us this evening on June 11th. We'll be back next week, same time at 7:55 Pacific Standard Time here on the internet at bbsradio.com. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you out there at Granada Hills High for the WPSL game. Good night, everybody. Good night, Sandy.
Good night.